Boise. This Sunday, May 12th, is Mother's Day. And our writer, Amanda Patchen, has a fun little story for you today, filled with some advice for you this Mother's Day. You may remember Amanda's story about Christmas gift giving advice. It was great. It was one of my favorites. It like actually really influenced me in how I bought Christmas or just like thought about Christmas gifts last year. And a lot of you loved it as well. So since Amanda is a mother, I asked her if she could give us some of her advice for Mother's Day. Also in the newsletter version of this, I have included a list of a few local Mother's Day things. So if you're looking for that and you just want to read this story, go check out the newsletter. That's either in your inbox or at fromboise.com. And if you're looking for some like Mother's Day events, those will be listed in Thursday's newsletter. And I'll tell you about them on Thursday's podcast. All right. This story is called A Word of Advice for Mother's Day. It was written by Amanda Patchen and it is read by me, Marissa. First, a warning. Mother's Day advice is all well and good, and I have some for you. However, no extravagance, no thoughtfulness on the third Sunday of May can possibly make up for neglect and inattention the other 364 days of the year. Typically, though not universally, mothers spend most of their days considering the needs of everyone else in the family. Mom knows that Michael doesn't like onions, that Julie prefers her sandwiches cut in triangles, that the dog will throw up if he eats too fast and needs to be fed in two stages a half hour apart, that the laundry needs to be shifted from the washer to the dryer right away to prevent that faint musty smell, and that the milk is about to expire and so needs to be drunk before the day is out. This is the weight that she carries, one that comes because she is paying attention to her family. Attention, of course, is another word for love. A loving mother is continually, almost involuntarily, pouring out this attention, this love, and its very reliability means that she and her efforts are often, if not always, taken for granted. In one sense, this is a good thing. Children ought to be able to count on their parents for love and attention, and being in doubt of that love would be tragic. In another sense, though, it's terrible. Being taken for granted is devastating, and anyone whose love and attention is assumed will eventually suffer from emotional starvation, with their capacity to love shrinking as they themselves are not noticed, not cared for, not loved. So, whatever you do for your mother or your wife for Mother's Day, know that nothing you can come up with, nothing I can suggest, will make up for daily, ordinary attention to mom. See her, notice her desires, think about her needs, listen when she speaks. She is a person too, and people fundamentally need to be seen and heard. Without attention, our stress reaction kicks in and we feel like we are in danger. That sense of danger destroys mental peace and damages the body. It's a big deal. Attending to one another, caring for one another, is foundational for human flourishing, and it is a daily thing, not a holiday thing. Holidays are an opportunity to increase or intensify our loving attention to one another. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for not doing so. So, that said, here's some advice for making this Mother's Day a wonderful day. Balance togetherness and downtime. Unless everyone in your family is a fully committed 100% extrovert, a whole day of togetherness will cause frustration, a meltdown, a fight, or some other disappointing conflict. Honoring mom can and should include some kind of physical and temporal space for everyone. If mom wants breakfast in bed, then perhaps leave her to it by herself so that she can wake up slowly and peacefully. If you have lunch out together, follow it up with a quiet afternoon nap for her and anyone else who needs to rest. If you spend the morning at the zoo or BAM together or go shopping, then plan time for her to take a bubble bath alone later on in the day. Likewise, even if everyone is 100% introvert, balancing the quiet mom craves with some affectionate attention will prevent her from feeling forgotten or neglected in the midst of her rest. If she asks for a morning of alone time, then follow it up with a short walk down the Greenbelt to get donuts at Pastry Perfection or just get some fresh air together. After a quiet afternoon of reading at her favorite coffee shop, meet up with mom and take her to ice cream at the Still before heading home. This episode of From Boise is sponsored by Extra Mile Arena. Boise, get ready to groove with the sensational Lauren Daigle, the powerhouse two-time Grammy award-winning singer-songwriter and her electric 12-piece band. The Kaleidoscope Tour is about to hit Extra Mile Arena next week on Thursday, May 16th. And guess what? We've got a Mother's Day treat just for you. snag a buy one, get one deal to save a whopping 50% off tickets. It's time to show mom some love and bask in the musical magic of Lauren Daigle with this special offer. The show is next week and you will not want to miss it. Secure your seats today. You can find a link to tickets in the show notes and scoop up the buy one, get one ticket deal while supplies last. Second, take responsibility for a chore. Taking over something mom ordinarily does is a double gift. First, it gives her the rest and release of not having to do that thing. Second, it will make everyone involved more aware of what is otherwise invisible. It is incredibly common for someone's workload to become invisible to others, especially if that person is particularly good at it. Of course, this is not exclusive to mothers, but it is endemic to motherhood and worthy of attention on a holiday devoted to them. There is much more public conversation about the quote mental load now than in our grandmother's time, but it seems to me that this sort of invisibility is not necessarily gendered and not necessarily part of some larger system of oppression. It may be that humans universally become blind to anything that is functioning well, and that we will inevitably have to combat this tendency no matter if we live in a patriarchy, a matriarchy, or a technopoly. I don't see the work that goes into keeping the internet up and running, and so I take it for granted, and I am personally offended when a video won't load or my files don't back up. So, practice awareness and sharing the mental load, and if it seems right and balanced to do so, maybe take over something permanently. Taking over must include all of the planning, learning, and labor of a thing. It is no fair cooking dinner and asking mom a dozen questions about how to saute the onions. She wasn't born knowing these things, so you can learn them too. In ordinary life, it is wonderful to learn from her, but it is not restful to teach, so don't demand that of her on the one day that she's supposed to be at ease. Cooking and the accompanying grocery shopping, laundry while being extra careful to not ruin anything of hers, dusting, cleaning, especially cleaning the stuff that gets overlooked, like the fronts of the cabinets, the grimy edge at the back of the counter, the shelves of the fridge, the seal on the washing machine door, the clutter and grime around the trash cans. Those are all good options. Do it well, do it thoroughly, and don't ask her if she wants it done or how she wants it done. Then don't even point it out. Just let it be better for her sake, whether she notices it or not. Then think about how many things are made better for you without your noticing. Third, make one thing permanently better. This one goes along with my Christmas gift giving advice, and I think it's a good way to look at all kinds of things in life. Rather than something temporary, although flowers and chocolates are quite enjoyable, the best kind of gifts are the ones that improve everyday life for everyone. This kind of thing takes enormous creativity and attention. It is definitely not the kind of thing that can be picked up at the convenience store at 8 p.m. on Saturday. Think of something that is a source of frustration or discomfort in everyday life, and then think of some way to make that better in the long term. Then make or buy or fix it. A simple three-step process, but it's not an easy one. It is even hard for me to think of good examples to illustrate this point. It could be something like noticing how the bathtub drain keeps getting clogged. Could you buy one of the $3 or $4 strainer plugs at Grover's Plumbing to catch the hair? Or perhaps it's a leaky faucet that needs a new seal. The seal itself is probably pretty inexpensive, but if you've never taken a faucet apart, this could be a bit more of a project. Perhaps it's buying a new and higher quality bath towels for everyone and then just getting rid of the old, worn out, and too small ones that you already have. Maybe it's finding someone to weld the wobbly handle on that pan, or getting, or making, a really nice blanket for mom for her reading chair. It's really important here to do a good job. Trying isn't enough, and paradoxically, it's because it is, quote, the thought that counts, and the thought that you put into doing it right is what will really matter in the long run. Having a nice thought's easy, but it's really not all that loving. Having a nice thought and then putting in the mental and emotional and practical effort into doing something thoroughly, carefully, and correctly is. So, figure out if she needs really good knives and then go over to Nordic Knives or one of the restaurant supply stores and buy her the really good ones. Check her shoe size and then go get her really good wool socks that fit and are the right style for the shoes that she actually wears. Because boot socks, running socks, ankle socks, hiking socks, and dress socks are all different. Get her a new bookshelf that fits into her space and then help her rearrange things and set it up. Make a better space for the outdoor trash cans. Dig up and replant the old unused garden bed with low-maintenance food or flowers. Berry bushes can be really nice. Clean out the gutters and then install the guards so that they don't get full again. Do the dishes and then replace the sponge with a clean one. Wash the shower curtain and then hang it up again. Further, notice some problem and then try to notice a second problem and come up with a creative solution that addresses them both. This is where creativity and individual attention really shine. It's also impossible to offer any kind of one-size solution because the nature of these situations is their utter individuality and the profound uniqueness of their solutions. The particulars will be very different for every individual person. It is in figuring out the particulars of your situation in which you will be giving a good gift. This episode of From Boise is sponsored by the Idaho Wine Commission. One of my favorite things about living in Boise is our community of local businesses and how much the community loves to support each other. That's why it's so cool to have events like Savor Idaho, hosted by the Idaho Wine Commission. It's a way to meet more than 30 of Idaho's local wine and cider makers, sample their amazing vintages, and get more in tune with this important industry in our state. The more you learn, the better your wine tastes. So I've heard. This is your sign to grab tickets for a Mother's Day gift or text your group chat and invite your best buds out to the wine event of the year. Savor Idaho is happening June 9th at the Idaho Botanical Garden. In addition to tons of wine, there will be food trucks on site for when you need to recharge and some fun activities like a paint and sip by Wine and Design to mix up the day a bit. You won't want to miss it. Who knows? You might find your new favorite wine there. You can get info and your tickets at idahowines.org. You can find a link to that in the show notes. And last but definitely not least, remember, you live in a flawed and complicated world. Look, life is hard. And if there's one thing that our culture is bad at, it's nuance and complexity. Not everyone has a mother or a mother figure. Some of us have lost them to cancer, to addiction, to their own demons. Some have mothers but have a strained and difficult relationship with them. Perhaps we are the ones who have failed them. Perhaps they have failed us. Some wish that they were mothers and have not been able to become a mother for one reason or another. Some of us have perfectly fine mothers but are uncomfortable with the pressure to perform on this holiday. My advice on this point is to be open and an attuned person, both to yourself and others, in light of this flawed complexity. If you have hurts around this holiday, make space for those hurts and work through what you can and forgive yourself for what you can't. Further, in your conversation with others, remember to make room for their hurts and limitations. Avoid making any kind of declaration about what others should or should not be doing with this day. Also, avoid making blanket statements about how wonderful or terrible mothers are. It is usually healthy and fair to express your own experiences, but people tend to have a bit of a habit of universalizing them to others, and that can be quite hurtful. A little sensitivity goes a long way. I'm looking forward to the old-fashioned donut that's my traditional Mother's Day breakfast, along with a nice cup of AeroPress coffee, then lunch out at Bitter Creek and having my sons take me book shopping in the afternoon. I expect to spend the evening reading, enjoying a quiet bath, and probably going to sleep early. I hope that your Mother's Day is lovely as well. Again, you can find this story in the newsletter. It is either in your inbox or at fromboise.com, and the newsletter version also has a couple of just like gift ideas, brunch spots, and a couple other local ideas for you for Mother's Day. This story was written by Amanda Patchen. Hope you enjoy it. Happy Mother's Day.